Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Mem Zayin. Today's daf as being sponsored anonymously. L'refuah shelema Aliza bat Sara en narefana la betoch she'ar chole amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. L'ailu nishmat acham baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanichem began Eden. Amen.
Amen.
We are beginning today on Daf Mem Vav Amud Sheni, and we are going to start on the bottom line with the Etibe. Let's just review where we're holding in this sugya. We had a great machloket in yesterday's Daf between Rabbah and Rav Chisda regarding on being able to bake from Yom Tov to Chol. For example, it was the last day of Yom Tov, and you want to now bake on Yom Tov for after the holiday. So Rabbah said it's permissible, and he based it on a concept called Ho'il, which means since it's possible that guests might surface on Yom Tov itself, and the food that you made can be worthy to feed to the guests on Yom Tov, so therefore you cannot get Malkut in such a case, because bottom line, the only time it's Asur is if the food is made where it has no viability for Yom Tov itself. But since if guests will show up, it's permissible, so therefore even if they don't show up, it is permissible to make in such a situation. Rav Chisda said no, he doesn't go with the Sevarav O'il, and therefore it is forbidden for him to bake from Yom Tov to Chol. So now, then the Gemara came along and said that everybody agrees, however, that Sorche Shabbat Na'asim B'Yom Tov, which meant that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, that's on a Friday, for Shabbat. Now again, there was a machloket on this as well of the reasoning. Why is that so? According to Rabbah, again, it's the Sevar of Ho'il. Because again, on Friday I can cook for Yom Tov since it's Ra'ui for Friday. Since if guests would come on Friday, it's Ra'ui, so therefore it's Mutar. Whereas Rav Chisda, who did not hold the Ho'il, he held, no, the Torah allows us to cook, just like you can cook from Yom Tov to Yom Tov, you can cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat. So that was the machloket regarding that. Again, everybody agrees, however, that Surche Yom Tov, Surche Shabbat, Na'asim, Beyom Tov. So Tirat the Gemara has a question. Etibe Lechem Apanim. The Lechem Apanim was the showbread that was on the Shulchan in the Bet HaMikdash. So the Gemara says Ne'echa L'Teshvam La'asara La'achad Asar Lo Pachot Ve'lo Yoter. Sometimes the Lechem Apanim is eaten 9 days after it was baked, sometimes 10 days after it was baked, sometimes 11 days after it was baked. Not less and not more. Well, I will explain. Ketzad. Kedarko l'tish'a. In a normal situation, it's eaten on the 9th day from after it's baked. When is the Lechem Apanim baked? Usually on a Friday. It's placed on the Shulchan on Shabbat. You don't bake it on Shabbat, obviously. You bake it the day before. So therefore, you bake it on Friday. So Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat. It's eaten the following Shabbat, which is the 9th day from when it was baked. Let's just review the ritual again. They would go to the Beit HaMikdash on Shabbat. They would take off the old Lechem HaPanim, divide it amongst the Kohanim, and they would refill the table with new bread. So again, L'Tishcha. So that means ne'efe be'erev Shabbat. It was baked on Friday. Ve'ne'echal be'Shabbat. And it's eaten on Shabbat. Le'tish'ah. Meaning on the 9th day after it was baked. Hal Yom Tov liyot be'erev Shabbat. Let's say Yom Tov fell out on a Friday. So now you can't bake on Yom Tov, because this food cannot be eaten on Yom Tov. Right? This food is not eaten on that day. So therefore, if Friday is Yom Tov, so when would they bake the Lechem HaPanim? They would bake it on Thursday. And therefore, when would it be eaten? The following Shabbat, which would be the 10th day from when it was baked. We read that inside. Chal Yom Tov liyot be'erev Shabbat, ne'echal le'Shabbat la'asara. So you would eat it on the, as we said, the 10th day. Comes the Gemara and continues. Shene yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Now let's say the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah came out on Thursday and Friday. Now let's discuss very quickly exactly why Rosh Hashanah is special more than any other of the holidays. Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael, used to be a 2 day holiday. Why? Our months sometimes have 29 days in them, and sometimes they have 30 days in them. One is Hasid, and one is Maleh. Meaning, if it's a 29-day month, then the 30th is considered the first of the next month. If it is a 30-day month, so then the next day, 31st, will be considered the first of the next month. Now, regarding Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, which happens in the beginning of the month. Now, in the olden days, how do we decide months? With witnesses. Witnesses would show up and say they saw the sighting of the new moon. Now, on the night of the 30th, you don't know if witnesses are going to show up or not. So, misafik, they had to start treating it as if it was Rosh Hashanah. Now, the next day, they would treat the 30th day as Rosh Hashanah, and they would wait for witnesses to show up. And the law was that they gave the witnesses to show up until Mincha time. If they showed up before Mincha, they would sanctify the 30th day as Rosh Hashanah, and they were celebrating it anyway, and therefore the next day would be Chol. However, if the witnesses would show up after Mincha time, already Hachamim said, we treat the first day Kodesh already, because the majority are treated Kodesh, and the next day would be considered Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, it's possible you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now let's say the situation is where the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah would be Thursday and Friday. So that means the 30th was on Thursday. That means the 29th was on Wednesday. Now in this case over here, where it's Thursday, Friday, 30th of Tishri, 30th of Elul, so now you cannot bake the Lechem HaPanim on Yom Tov. So you can't bake it on Thursday, nor can you bake it on Friday, so you would have to bake it on Wednesday. So that would be a case of Lechem HaPanim being baked and then eaten 11 days later, which would be on the following Shabbat. Oh, so that she asked this question. That she says, but that following Shabbat is Kippur. Good question. So that she says, few answers. One answer that he says is that even when Rosh Hashanah is, let's say, on the Thursday, but the witnesses came after Mincha, so you wouldn't make Kippur on that Shabbat. Because really the witnesses came on after Mincha, and after Mincha really we consider Friday being the main day of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore Kippur that year would be on Sunday. Secondly, even if you want to argue that you're going to make Rosh Hashanah on Thursday, when the witnesses did come, even though they came after Mincha, and therefore Kippur will be on Shabbat, no problem. Because you can eat the Lechem HaPanim Motzei Kippur. Because Kadashim, you're able to eat them the following night. And therefore, you don't have to eat the Lechem HaPanim that moment. You take them off the table, you leave them till Motzei Kippur, and they break their fast on Lechem HaPanim. So either way, if it's Kippur or not, it's not a problem. Now, the Kabbalah continues. Shene yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. So they would bake the lechem epanim on Wednesday. Ne'echal le'shabbat le'achad asad. Lefi she'en odoche. Lefi she'en odoche lo et ha'shabbat ve'lo et ha'yom tov. Because the baking of the lechem epanim is not doche, not Shabbat, because you cannot bake the lechem epanim on Shabbat, nor can you bake the lechem epanim on Yom Tov. So comes the Gemara and says, Ve'i amart. Now the question is, Rabbah is going to ask on the Chazda. Ve'i amart, surche Shabbat na'asim b'yom Tov. If you hold that you're allowed to do surche Shabbat on Yom Tov, amay lo dache Yom Tov. How come the afiyah of lechem epanim will not be doche Yom Tov? Which means, according to Rabbah, it's a svar of ho'il. There's no ho'il in the Beit HaMikdash. We don't say there's going to be guests in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, we understand it's going to be asur minat Torah to bake the bread. But according to you, that you say, no, minat Torah, tzurche, Shabbat is done on Yom Tov, because the Torah allows it. And it's only asur midrabanan because of the gezerah, that what? That if we let you do it from Yom Tov to Shabbat, you might come to do it to Yom Tov, to hol. But that's only asur midrabanan. And we have a rule, en shvut, the mikdash, that we waive rabbinical gezerot in the mikdash. So therefore the question is, according to Rav Chisda, why can't you bake the lechem epanim on Yom Tov? Why are you telling me if Yom Tov is on a Friday, you got to do it on Thursday? Rosh Hashanah, you got to do it on Wednesday. Make it on Yom Tov itself. Why? Surche Shabbat, Nasi Yom Tov, according to you. You tell me it's a Sudra Banan? So what? In Shud the Mikdash. So comes Gevran and says, Amar Le. If Chazda answers back, Shevut Kerova Etiru, Shevut rechoka lo etiru. There's different types of shvuts. There's literally a close shvut, and then there is a far shvut. Which means, if the Yisud Rabbanan will allow me to do something today where I could benefit, so they allow you to do a Yisud Rabbanan today for today. Masha'en ken, in this case over here, we're allowing you to bake it today on Yom Tov, to eat it not 10 days later or 11 days later. That's called shvut rechoka. Yeah. Such a shvut they did not waive. Which means, if the Yisud Rabbanan that was being done to Beit HaMikdash will allow you to benefit from the item today, it's immediate, then we allow such a shvut. That's called shvut kerova. This, however, is a shvut rechoka. I'm allowing you to bake it today, to eat it when? 10 days later, they don't waive such shvutim. And therefore, even according to Rav Chisda, it would be asur to bake the lechem epanim on Yom Tov. Good. Comes Gemara and says, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Hasegan. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Hasegan, meaning he was the son of the Segan Kohen Gadol, of the vice of the Kohen Gadol, Doche et Yom Tov, Be'eno Doche et Yom Som. He holds that no, Lechem Epanim is actually its baking. Is doche Yom Tov itself, and therefore you can bake on Yom Tov. The only thing it doesn't doche is Yom Som, which means Kippur. That already it's not doche. Rashi says, "Ve'enu doche Yom Som Kippurim ba'afiyato disura deoraitau," because that's already isur deoraita. De'lo utar bo ochen nefesh, because on Kippur it's different. Kippur is a din of like Shabbat. You're not allowed to bake on Kippur. Aval Yom Tov hutar bo ochen nefesh. Ha, vehay ochen nefesh hu. Vafagav de'eno tzorek li Yom Tov. Well, even though you don't need it for Yom Tov, hare tzorek li Shabbat. Du name Yom Tov. Hilkach be'alma isur shevutu. So it's only isur drabanan. Ubemekdash lo gazru. Vafagav de'rechokai. Which is according to this rabbi, he's telling you,
really tzorche Shabbat na'asim b'yom tov. Therefore, you can make the lechem ha'panim on yom tov. It should be asut rabbanan kusav gezerah in shvut b'mikdash. What do you mean? But this is shvut rechoka. So obviously, this opinion is going to hold what? That shvut rechoka hetiru b'mikdash. So that's going to be basically the machloket between this opinion and the last opinion that we brought, and that's what the Gemara says. Beha pelige. The machloket is going to be shvut kiroba. Mor savar shvut kiroba hetiru. Shvut rechoka lo hetiru. Mor savar shvut rechoka name hetiru. Which means the first opinion, Rav Chazda will say, why the Tana said it's asut to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbat is because why? Shvut rechokai. Why? Because you're baking today for something that's going to be 10 days later. Lo etiru. Whereas this opinion, which is, I guess, the bunch of Rabban Gamliel, he holds no. Even a shvut rechoka hetiru. Therefore, we let you bake on Yom Tov, the lechem ha'panim, for the eating that will happen 10 or 11 days later. So we have a machloket in that as well. Shvut rechoka or shvut kiroba. Comes out, everybody agrees that you can't, everybody agrees in the sense of Rabban of Hazda, that you can't bake the lechem ha'panim on Yom Tov, Rabban of Hazda. But there's a nafka mina in the reason. According to Rabba, the reason why you can't bake the bread on Yom Tov is because there's no ho'il. The logic was, ho'il, since if guests come, the Beit HaMikdash should have that sevara. Therefore, it's going to be asur from the Torah to bake the bread on Yom Tov in the Beit HaMikdash. However, according to Rav Chisda, that he says, no, mina Torah, tzorche Shabbat na'asim bi Yom Tov. Therefore, mina Torah technically should be permissible to bake. And it's only asur mid Rabbanan gezerah, if we let you cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, you might cook from Yom Tov to Chol. That's only asur mid Rabbanan. Technically, we should waive it in the Beit HaMikdash. In Shvut. No, but this is Shvut Rechoka. And therefore, Shvut Rechoka lo etiru. So, both hold that it's Asur. One will hold it's Isur de Oraita, and one will hold it's Isur de Rabbanan. Abba holds Isur de Oraita, Rav Chisda will say Isur de Rabbanan. Whereas Abban Shimon Gamliel holds Mutar. Why? Because Surche Shabbat Na'asim B'Yom Tov, it's a Shvut Rechoka. He says even Shvut Rechoka is mutar in the Beit HaMikdash. No, because according to Rabba holds the only reason why it's mutar to bake something on Yom Tov is if it can be used on Yom Tov. And therefore normally when you bake on Yom Tov, even after you ate, we say, Sevarav Ho'il V'im Miklu Liu Orchim. Since if guests would come, it's viable on Yom Tov. Therefore it's mutar. But without the sevarav ho'il, it goes back to being asumed oraita. In the Beit HaMikdash, there's no orchim. There's no sevarav ho'il being mikluu le'orchim. So therefore, it's asu to bake. Could you eat this bread on Yom Tov? Of course not. Is there any chance that anybody can eat it on Yom Tov? Of course not. Therefore, it's asu to oraita again. The sevarav ho'il does not apply. Correct. Or can be in potential. Comes the Gemara and says, Mativ Rav Mori. Rav Mori asks a question again on the Hizda. Shetei alechem are the halot that were brought on the holiday of Shavuot. That was the korban that was brought. It's called shetei alechem. It used to also come with shene kevasim, with two sheep, and the kohanim would eat them. After they would bring the korban, the kohanim would eat the shetei alechem. So the Gemara says, שתי הלחם אינם נאכלות לא פחות משניים. They're not eaten within less than 2 days of when they were baked, ולא יותר על שלושה. And not more than 3 days after they were baked. So the minimum is two, the maximum would be three. כיצד? What's the case? נאפות ערב יום טוב, נאכלות ליום טוב. That's already Mishnayim, which means, let's say they baked them on Erev Yom Tov, right before Shavuot. That's one day. They would eat them the following day
on Shavuot. Shavuot's only one day. Mm-hmm. So therefore that's a case where it's eaten on the second day after it was baked. Hal Yom Tov liyot ahar Shabbat. Let's say Yom Tov, however, was on Sunday. So now they couldn't bake the lechem, the shteha lechem on Shabbat. Can't bake that, right? The shteha lechem Shabbat, you're not doche. And if they had to bake it on Friday. So they baked it on Friday, they didn't eat it until Sunday. So that's Friday, Shabbat, so they ate it on the third day. So again, Hal Yom Tov liyot ahar Shabbat, ne'echalot li Yom Tov lishlosha, lefi, she'ena docha, lo at Shabbat, velo at Yom Tov. Because the baking of the lechem, of the shteh lechem of Shavuot is not doche, not Shabbat, and not Yom Tov. So comes the Gemara and asks, Ve'i amart, surche Shabbat na'asim bi Yom Tov, you Rav Chisda, you hold, min Torah, it's permissible to bake on Yom Tov for the next day for Shabbat. Hashtag the Shabbat be Yom Tov Shari. The Yom Tov be Yom Tov Mebaya? Or the more so it would be permissible to bake on Yom Tov for Yom Tov. But if you allow Minat Torah to bake on Yom Tov for the next day for Shabbat, meaning Shorchis Shabbat Asim be Yom Tov, shouldn't it follow suit to say, or the more so it would be permissible to bake on Yom Tov for Yom Tov? And if, for example, when the Shteh Lechem is on Shavuot, why do you have to bake it before Yom Tov? Why do you have to bake it the day before? Or if Shavuot came out on a Sunday, why do you have to bake it on Friday? Bake the Shteh Lechem on Sunday. Which means if I'm allowed to go Minat Torah, Yom Tov to Shabbat, can I go from Yom Tov to Yom Tov itself? Isn't that a kavachomer? Mm-hmm. Is that the question that they're asking according to the opinion of Rav Chisda? Which means, again, according to Rav Chisda, he holds Minat Torah Surche Shabbat Na'asim Biyom Tov. Mm-hmm. That is permissible Ochel Nefesh. Now, according to him, we ask a question. Just like you're not going to eat the food that you made on Yom Tov, that food is not going to be eaten until Shabbat. So there's a delay. But you hold that that's fine. So too, when you make the Shteh Lechem on Shavuot, you can't eat it right away. You have to wait until the Korban is brought. So what? According to you, you don't hold it has to be eaten immediately. You hold there could be a delay. Haraya, you're baking something on Friday that you're not going to eat until Shabbat. But according to Rabbah says, no, it has to be viable immediately. He holds ho'il. Meaning, at the time of the baking, it has to be ra'ui. Now, and since it's ra'ui, that gas can surface, so therefore it's permissible to bake on Friday to Shabbat. So I understand why you can't bake the shteh lechem on Shavuot. Because when you bake the shteh lechem, it's not permissible immediately. Because you have to wait until the Qurban is brought. And therefore, there's a delay. But according to you, Rav Chisda, that obviously Minat Torah, you don't care about a delay. Why? Because you hold, you're allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbat, even though it has no viability on Yom Tov. So therefore, Kol Shekin, you should be able to bake the Shteh Lechem on Yom Tov of Shavuot, even though it's not permissible at that moment, it'll be permissible later on that day. Gemara answers, Shani Hatam. The Shteh Lechem is different. Why? The Amar Kera Lachim. Lachim below the Gavoah. In the Pasuk that talks about the Eter of baking and cooking on Yom Tov, it says in the Pasuk, Ach asher ye'achil lechol nefesh, hu lebado ye'aseh lachem. What do we learn from the word lachem? That what type of baking is permissible on Yom Tov? Baking that's for you. Now, even if the baking is for Yom Tov to Shabbat, it's okay according to Rav Chisda, so long as the baking is for you. However, here, the baking is for what? Gavoah. The Shteh Lechem is not personal bread. It's Kodesh. And therefore there is no heter
to bake on Yom Tov things that are not for personal use. Things that are for Gavoa are going to be Asur. So that's the way that Chazda answers the question. Gemara says, "Ulerabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Atsegan dohe et Yom Tov ma'ika lememar." Which again, Rabbi Shimon or Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel holds that really you can bake the shtar lechem on Yom Tov. So the question is, according to him, what does he do with the word lechem? Because we learned the word lechem says lechem velo legavoa, but according to him, that he allows you to bake on Yom Tov. Oh, what do you do with lechem? Savar la ka'abba Shaul. Da'amal lechem, lechem velo nuqrim. He learns that the lechem is coming to tell you, you can only bake or cook for yourselves on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to cook or bake for goyim. Let's say a guy has some servants, right? So he wants to put up some food for them on Yom Tov. No, asur. The eter of ochel nefesh is lechem velo nuqrim. Comes the Gemara and says, now the tables turn. Now Rav Chisda is going to ask the question on Rabba. Again, what's Rabba's opinion? Ho'il. That the whole reason why you can cook on Yom Tov for Shabbat is because it can be viable on Yom Tov itself. Using the sevara of Ho'il ve'im mikle'u lehu orhin. That guests can surface on Yom Tov itself. Right? Comes Gemara. Shalach le Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda sent to Rabba biyad Rav Chabba Ravuna. But in the hands of Rav Chabba Ravuna, he had this question. He sent it to Rabba. Mi amrina no'il? Do we say the sevara of ho'il? Ve'atenan, we have a mishnah makot. Yesh choresh telem echad ve'hayavim aleha mishum shemona lavin. It's possible a guy could plow one furrow in a field, and by plowing, one action of plowing, he's going to transgress eight lo ta'aseh from the Torah, and he's going to subject to eight rounds of malkut. How could you get in one act eight sins? So the Gemara says, number one, ha'choresh b'shor v'chamor. Torah clearly says, lo ta'harosh b'shor u'b'chamor yahdav. So lo ta'aseh. You're not allowed to take two animals, put them in one yoke, so to speak, connect them together, and have them plow together. So he's plowing with two animals, shor v'chamor. That's issue number one. Number two, vehen mukdashim. No, they were kodesh. Now, let's understand this. The shor was mukdash for the mizbeach, because you're allowed to bring a shor for the korban as a mizbeach. You're not allowed to use something that is hegdesh. So by using the shor, you get a sin of what? Of using something that is hegdesh. The chamor obviously cannot be kodesh, right? But you could sanctify it for its money value. Meaning, as kiddushat damim, is the value of the chamor is $1,000, so therefore you're going to give the $1,000 to the Bet HaMikdash, but until you redeem it, the chamor has kodesh. So therefore you're over as well on the chamor from kiddushat damim. So on the shor it's kiddushat aguf, and on the chamor it's kiddushat damim. So that's two more. So therefore you're up to three. Okay, three sins so far. Number four, incidentally, that she gives you the source of how do you know that you're not allowed to benefit from something that is a shor, let's say, that became kodesh. As she quotes the pasuk, it says, "Lo ta'avod bebechor shorecha." If let's say the shor is a bechor, now bechor we know has kedusha, and the pasuk says, "Lo ta'avod." So from there we learn not only a bechor, any type of shor that has kedusha in it, it would be asur to work. Good. Now, as she just points out, it's very easy to get to eight. You can get to 800 because as much animals that you have in this pit, just get 30 hamorim and 30 shivarim and put them together to plow, so you get already a tremendous amount of isurim. So that she says, no, we're not looking for repetitive sins. We're trying to give a case where you get eight different sins once. Right? It's no trick to get many yisurim. The more animals you put together, the more isurim you get, but it's the same isur. Okay. Number four, the kilayim bakerim. They were plowing a field of kilayim, meaning there was a grapes planted next to other seeds, and they were plowing that. That's asur. The pasuk says, "Lo tizra karmecha kilayim." Okay. Ushvi'it. And this was done in the Shemitah year. Now the Torah says clearly, "Ubashana shvi'it sadecha lo tizra," where you're not allowed to sow. That means to cover the seeds. Now, it was also done biyom tov. Okay, biyom tov on the holiday, and we know that the Torah says, "Kol melechet avodah." Lo ta'asu. Then we go to number 8. Well, actually 7. Kohen. The guy that was doing it, the plowing, was a Kohen. So what? We will see. Number 8, the Nazir. And he was also a Nazir. So what? Abet ha-tum'ah. The plowing was done by a cemetery. And a Kohen and a Nazir are not allowed to become Teme'im. The pasuk says by a kohen lenefesh lo yitama, and by a nazir al nefesh met lo yavo. Yeah. So technically, a guy did one act, and in that one act, he's over 8 different isurim that he's subject to malkut. The Gemara asks, ve'i amrinan ho'il. Now wait, if you're going to work with the sevara rabba of ho'il, aharisha lo lehayev. You shouldn't be hayav on Yom Tov because you made harisha. What's one of the isurim? He did a melacha on Yom Tov. What was the melacha he did on Yom Tov? You plowed. Why? Ho'il v'hazel l'chisui dam sipor. Since that plowing would be ra'ui for the covering of the blood of a bird. Let's analyze what's being said over here. Are you allowed to make shechita on Yom Tov? Yes. What's the deen if you slaughter a chicken on Yom Tov? You have to make the mitzvah of kisui hadam, which means you take dirt and you cover the blood. So therefore, if you work with the sevara of ho'il, you could say like this: why are you going to be hayav on harisha? I could say since this harisha technically is permissible because if I needed it for kisui hadam on the day, I would be able to. So therefore, you shouldn't count it as one of the isurim. It should only be 7, not 8. That's the question, if you say, well, now there's a real question on this. Normally when you say ho'il, it means it would be permissible. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if guests would show up, it would be mutar for me to give them the food. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I could do it even though there's no guests. Because there's a way that it can be done 100% etir. Mm-hmm. Now I ask you a question. If let's say you slaughter a chicken on Yom Tov, are you allowed to go plow to get the dirt?
No.
Of course not. It's only if the dirt was plowed already. So therefore, what kind of ho'il is this over here? The ho'il, if I would have had a bird and I sorted it, what? It's still asur to plow. So the explanation is like this. Very important point. Let's say you did plow in that situation. You did an isur, there's no question about it. You shouldn't have plowed. Do you get malkut in that situation? No, why? Because plowing is only when your kavanah is for the plowing. Here the plowing is for the dirt. Mm-hmm. That would be called the melacha she'ena sidicha legufa, which is, we learned in Masechet Shabbat, that the only time you hayab for plowing, let's say, is when the purpose is to plow the ground. In this case, if I were to plow the ground in order to take the dirt to cover the blood of a bird, is that hayab? It's not hayab. Maybe asur, but you don't get malkut in such a case. Why? I'm only doing it for the dirt, not for the plowing. Therefore, that's what the Gemara is asking. If you hold the sevara of ho'il, so why do you say that I'm going to get a malkut? One of the 8, I'm going to get a malkut for doing harisha on Yom Tov. I shouldn't be hayav on Yom Tov. Why? Because if a situation would have arose where I had a bird that I slaughtered and I plowed, I wouldn't be hayav malkut. So therefore, I shouldn't be hayav malkut even when I did it without a bird. Because if you say the sevara of since ho'il, that's the question of Chazda asks to Rabbah. Amar
Rapapaba Shemuel Ba'abanim Mekurzalot. So he comes along and says, now we're talking about a field that has sharp stones in the field. It's a rocky field. And therefore, the field is not the Olfi Kisui Adam. Kisui Adam with these rocks is not an option. So therefore, that's why you're going to be over Harisha. Because it's not an option to use these rocks, these sharp rocks for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So the Gemara says, wait. I can crush them. You have a sharp rock, so what? What do you do with a sharp rock? It's made out of dirt, like. So what do? Take it, crush it, and then make the kisui adam. So the Gemara says, "Uktisha b'yom tov mishare." What are you talking about? You're not allowed to make a kitisha. Are you allowed to crush on yom tov? So the Gemara says, "Reuyot lechotchan kilahariyad." We have a law. If you do something in a different way, right, not the normal way, it's only isur the rabbanan. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, even if you want to tell me that there was rocks there, but so what? Why should I be hayav for plowing? One of the eight was what? Plowing on Yom Tov. It's ra'ui for covering the blood. What do you mean it's ra'ui? It's a rock. No, I can grind it. Kel ahariyad. And if I would grind it kel ahariyad, there should be no malkut. But I don't have a bird here. So what? Hu'il. You, Rabbi, you subscribe to this of Rav O'il. So O'il should exonerate me from the Isur of Harisha B'Yom Tov. Since if I would have a bird, even if it's stones, I'd be able to get around the Malkut by crushing it, Kelahariyad. So the Gemara says, Bitsunma. Now we're talking about solid rock, where it's not even possible to crush. So that's not an option. So the Gemara says, hold it. Now you have another problem. Tsunma barziria. One of the eight things that you did was you planted kilayim. How could you plant in a rocky earth over there? So therefore, you answered one question. But now you have another question. Which means, it says one of the eight was what? You planted kilayim. Look, a guy plant in bedrock. So the Gemara says, Tsunma milma'ala. Ve'afarti hawah milmata. So you have to say that the topsoil is rock and the bottom is afar, it's moist dirt. So the planting is taking place where? On the bottom. When you're making the harisha, that's where the planting is taking place. Now, and that's the harisha that the person is doing. Now, the harisha, what is happening? He's turning over the rocks on the top. He's turning over the rocks. Those rocks are not ra'ui for kisui adam because they're solid and therefore they cannot be crushed. Therefore the sevarav o'il will not work. So therefore Rabbaz is answering. Rabbaz tells you, I'll give you a case where you can be hayav zoreya and horesh. Rocks on top, afartiyahu on the bottom. You plowed. Well, you planted. You planted an afartiyahu. You hayav for kilayim. Now, when you plowed, what happened? You turned over the rocks. That's where your harisha is, on turning over the rocks. Yeah. Now, those rocks itself, are they the unfi kisui adam? No. I crush them. No, they're uncrushable because they are solid. So therefore, Rava has to answer all these answers in order that he doesn't have to come onto the sivara of ho'il. So the Gemara says, wait. V'tipukle mishum afarti hawah. Which means, go back. Bottom line, you have afarti hawah over here. Now the afarti hawah, that soft, you could use it for kisui adam. Which means, in the plowing that you did, you plowed two things. You plowed the afarti hawah and the rocks. So therefore, you shouldn't be hayev on the plowing, because so ill, since I could have used the afarti hawah for the kisui adam, so you should be off the hook. So the Gemara says that you couldn't answer that question. Ela amar mor barabashe betina. You have to say that the topsoil was rock, and the bottom soil was what? Tar, mud. That's not trofi kisui adam. Oh, so the Gemara goes back to that old question. Betina barziriyahu. Could you plant in tar? Which is, wait. Whenever you answer one question, you're back to a Another question. So the Gemara says, "Bimtunta." We're talking about. I have to make an answer here. It's moist land. That's good for planting, but it doesn't turn into dirt that would be ra'uy for kisuy adam, and therefore, when you crush it, it globs. It comes into. Not into small pieces. So therefore, ziriyah you have, because it's moist. Is it ra'uy for kisuy adam? No. Because why? It doesn't mitporer. Harisha there is, but you'll not be able to kisuy adam, so therefore you're ovid 8. So basically what happened in this shaklav etariya back and forth, let's just review the technique here. Rava held the sevra vo'il. How did Hu'il work? On Yom Tov. He allowed me to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbat. Why? Because it's Ra'uy on Yom Tov. Why is it Ra'uy on Yom Tov? I ate already. No, because since if guests would show up, yeah, but guests didn't show up. I didn't even invite guests. Doesn't matter. Hu'il, since. Good, you go with since? Rabbi, give me the case of how you oved ate Lavin. Why does Rabbi have to answer this question? Because it's a Mishnah. Rabbi cannot argue on a Mishnah. And what are the eight Lavin? In the Harisha was what? Plowing on Yom Tov. Hey, Rabbah, why is it plowing on Yom Tov? Use your Hu'il cloud. Hu'il that if I had to slaughter a chicken on Yom Tov, which is mutar, and I needed to make Isur Yadam, and I plowed, it would not be considered Isur, meaning of Malkut, because the Melakash is a Kalugufa, therefore, why is that one of them? So Rabbah has to go and try to answer. Why it's not ra'uy for kisuy adam? Mm-hmm. It's rocks that are not crushable. Oh, but then you have a ziri'a problem. Because one of the eight isurim was your planting. Also, you have to say, it's rocky on top, it's dirt on the bottom. Yeah, but the dirt you should be patur because kisuy adam. So you have to say, it's a type of dirt that's ra'uy for planting. But it's not ra'uy for kisuy. That's basically what Abbas is trying to do. He has to figure out a way to make it that you have eight isurim without keeping the option of hu'il v'ra'uy l'chatzut adam an option. And basically he answered it. Can I ask another question on Abba? Etibe. Etibe Abaye. Have a bashel gida nashe. A guy cooked the Gida Nesher. The Gida Nesher is a sciatic vein that we know that's asur to eat. Okay? Now he did it, he cooked it bihalav, he cooked it in milk, biyom tov, on yom tov, ve'ukhlo, and he ate it. Loke hamesh. He gets five different sets of malkut. Let's see how. Loke mishum bashel gid, biyom tov. Number one, for cooking the gid on yom tov. Why? Because you only have to cook on Yom Tov something that you can eat. Right? Okay, nefesh. Since the Gidin is asur to eat, so therefore you're over on cooking on Yom Tov. That's one isur. Good. Veloke mishum ochel gid. Okay, well you get makut for eating the gid. Okay. Right? So that says you can't eat Gidin Hashem. Veloke mishum mebashel basar behalav. When you cooked it in milk, the gid has a din of basar. And therefore, cooking milk and meat, not the vashel gedi b'chalev emo, that's also isur. Ve'lokem mishum ochel basar b'chalav. And you ate it. You're eating milk and meat. That's another isur. Besides the isur of eating gid, you have isur of eating gid with milk. That's eating milk and meat. Ve'lokem mishum havara. And also you made a fire. I mean, besides the cooking, you have to make a fire. So you made a fire on Yom Tov. That's illegal. That's already melacha. V'yamrina no'il. But wait, according to you, Rabba, that subscribe to O'il, Ahavara lo lihayev. You shouldn't be hayav for making the fire. Why? Ho'il dahazile letzorko. Which means, why don't you say, Ho'il, if he wanted to cook food for Yom Tov, this fire would be okay. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you shouldn't be on the hook for the Havara. Ho'il should get you off the hook on Havara. Okay. But if the guy wanted to make regular food, can he? Yeah. So use that fire. Amar le, so Abaye says, you're right. Apik havara. Yeah, you're right. Havara is not one of the five. Take out Havara. Va'ayil gid ha-nasheh shel nevela. Make it that it was a gid ha-nasheh from an animal that was a nevela. So therefore, tack on that you ate nevela. That's number five. You can't get it for Havara because you say Nasechara Vo'il. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'tani Rabbi Haya." You can't get it from that cannot be. Why? Because we have Rabbi Haya that said, "Lokin shtayim al achilato, v'shalosh al bishulo." In the breakdown of the five, Rabbi Haya told us the breakdown: two of the isurim on eating, meaning one would be gid, one would be basar b'halav, three on cooking, meaning cooking basar b'halav, cooking on Yom Tov, and making the fire. Now, the im ita, if you're telling me that this was a nevela, shalosh al achilato mebe'ale, it's really three on eating. It would be gid, basar b'halav, and nevela. So what the Gemara is saying is you can't say it was a nevela, because we know the breakdown already. It's three and two. And two are eating. And we have the two on eating already. So Gemara says, Ela apik habara. Take out habara, because you got the sevarav hu'il. Hu'il. Ve'ayil atse mukse. Make the isur of it, the wood that you used was mukse. Meaning, there's a law of mukse that says if you didn't prepare it before Yom Tov for use, you cannot move it. So that's the isur. Now that implies that you're going to get malkut for moving mukse. So the Gemara asks, "Umukse de oraita?" Since when is the law of mukse de oraita? So the Gemara says, "Amar le im." He says, "Yes, mukse is asur min haTorah." How? Dichtiv, because it says by the man that the Jewish people used to collect on Shabbat, or actually Erev Shabbat, I should say. Ve'ayah b'yom haShishi. On Friday, ve'echinu et asher yaviu. Says they would prepare what they would bring. Now, what does this preparation mean? So some might explain it. Well, you had to prepare the man. You had to grind it. You had to bake it. You had to cook it. Which is the man wasn't eaten as is. You needed to process it. So maybe that's what it means ve'echinu. So that she says no. That she says, if that's what ve'echinu means, it's superfluous. Because the Torah clearly says it explicitly. Et asher tofu efu. Ve'et asher bashelu bashelu. The Torah clearly says, do whatever you have to do with it on Erev Shabbat. So what does ve'echinu must mean? That they had to make a verbal declaration. I am designating this man for Shabbat use. Implying what? If they didn't designate it before Shabbat, it would be mukseh. Because the Torah is telling you, ve'echinu. Meaning if you didn't designate it, it's going to be mukseh. So what do you see over here? Mukseh is indeed asur, but a Torah. Now wait, we have a rule that in order to get malkut for an isur from the Torah, you need a warning. Meaning it's got to say, don't do it. Here it just says, prepare it. But that does not subject me to malkut. So the Gemara says, ve'azharata, the warning, me'acha. Milo ta'aseh kol melacha. Which means, whatever the Torah deems a melacha, the Torah says, no ta'aseh. And if you do what you're going to get, malkut. So let's go back to our case. Our case is as follows. The guy cooked gida nasheh. No, not nevela.
Kosher,
from a kosher animal that was slaughtered properly. Gid ha-nasheh with halaf on Yom Tov. What are the five? And he ate it. Well, two eatings are, he ate gid ha-nasheh, he ate basar b'halav. The cooking on Yom Tov is going to be asur, and the cooking of basar b'halav is going to be asur. Havara, no. Because Rabbah will say, hu'il. On the fire, I could have used it for something permissible. Good, so they got Havara. Put in what? Mukseh. What's mukseh? You didn't designate the wood. What is generally mukseh? What's wood? What's the purpose of wood? So wood, you have to designate before Yom Tov that you're going to want to use it for a heter purpose. Who says mukseh is deoraita? from the man, you learn that mukseh is doraita. Why? Torah says, hey, you want to eat that man? Vechinu. Prepare it. And don't tell me preparing means, prepare it meaning bake it, cook it. The Torah tells you that already explicitly. So the preparing must have been what?
Declare.
In order to make it non-mukseh. Implying that what? If you didn't declare it, it's going to be mukseh, and therefore you're going to get malkut. From where? Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. So therefore, Rabba can answer that case as well, of how you get five lavin that are going to be subject to malkut, that are going to be subject to five different lavin, not including havara. Aruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.